For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Swinging a high drive into center field. Hits at the wall. It is gone! Passes does it again.
Again.
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high. It's deep. It's back. It's gone! Sale winds. He fires. Swing and a miss. Strike three. It's over!
The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
Heyo, welcome back to Play Tessie. It's episode 89 if you're listening on drop dates, July 2nd. Episode 89 is the Tanner Houck episode, one of the last ones that we're doing with a player because there's like not a lot in the 90s, so we'll find something out. But this is the official podcast of Geriatric Debates, also known as the official Red Sox podcast of WEI. Before we get going, remember to hit that subscribe button wherever you're getting your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, or the Odyssey app. Hit the subscribe button, rate us 5 stars. Helps us out a ton. You could also check us out on YouTube. We're on WEI's channel. We got a Play Tessie playlist there where you can hit the thumbs up on our videos, which we would also love. Also, remember, check us out on the socials at Play Tessie on both Twitter and Instagram. Once again, I'm here with Sammy, and I'm here with Joe, who's filling in for Pat. Fellas, we are, as I said, drop day, July 2nd. It means we are in trade deadline month. It is time, and as we are recording this, the Red Sox are a game and a half out of a wild card spot. Now, they did not sell. They didn't sell anything last year. They just didn't really buy. They traded for Luis Urias. And last year at the deadline, they were a game out of a playoff spot. Just one. So, obviously, different regime leading. Chaim Bloom was leading then. Craig Breslow is leading now. Craig Breslow has said that he wants to pick a direction. But I think, I mean, in the interest of being a game and a half out, I think we need to test the waters here. Kenley Jansen threw another scoreless great inning on Sunday to close out that game. His ERA now for the season is 2.22. After we worried about his health, his velocity seemed to be way down. It was way down. We worried about him for a long time, but he has been huge for the Red Sox this year. And I feel like ever since the beginning of the season, we have talked about when the Red Sox trade Kenley Jansen. I need to do a vibe check with you guys. Sammy, I'll start with you. Where are you on the trade Kenley Jansen, I guess, meter? We'll call it a meter.
Well, I think like if Craig Breslow does trade Kenley Jansen, I think what the next move would be is to get all the players and just line them up and have Breslow and the rest of the front office just kick all of them right in the crotch, just nonstop, because that's basically what they would be doing. If you take your veteran bullpen leader, closer, who's been absolute nails, and you trade him, especially for prospects, that is such a bad message to send to this team that, you know, they're not the best team ever, but they're fun and they fight and they're in a playoff spot almost, like you said. So to answer your question, I do not want to trade Kenley Jansen. Earlier in the season, I thought it was inevitable that they would trade him. This team is not good enough to contend. Will they even be playing meaningful games near the deadline? I didn't really think so. I picked them to win 81 games and lose 81 games. Right now, they're on pace to do better than that. So I don't see how you could trade Kenley Jansen and justify it, barring some absurd return from like the Padres or the Dodgers or something.
Well, let me ask you a follow-up on that, because I think the Kenley Jansen conversation goes a lot deeper than should the Red Sox buy or should the Red Sox sell. We know that ownership has put a budget on this team. We don't know what the budget is. We don't know how much salary the Red Sox are permitted to add, if any. So I'll give you some options here, Sammy. Let's say John Henry has a budget on this team and they're not allowed to add any salary. They have to end up where they are now or less. Would you hold firm and don't make any trades and keep the roster as is? Would you trade additional prospect capital for your additions so that the teams trading them will eat salary so you don't have to add anything beyond the major league minimum? Or would you trade Kenley or Chris Martin, we'll say for this, trade someone making money from the bullpen, which is those one of those two guys, to free up salary and then make your additions and bring the salary into those slots so you end up kind of around the same area? You have those three options. Which one are you picking?
I'd go option two. I think if you can find a way, if you're the Red Sox and Craig Breslow, and you can find a way to package, let's say, Yoshida, a guy who, you know, decent bat, but doesn't do enough to warrant the money that he makes. If you can package his contract with prospects, yeah, you lose the prospect, but you free up a spot, you free up some money, and now you can make an addition in a spot that could help you this year, 2024, maybe beyond. We'll talk about names in a later episode, but yeah, I think I would go with option two, and I know that it's kind of like wishful thinking. Oh, you're a team on a budget. Why don't you just get rid of your bad contracts and then add guys? Like, of course, that's what I'd like to do, but you have a guy in Yoshida specifically who is still, you know, has some value to a major league team that makes a lot of money, and you could find a way to offload his contract. It's not going to be easy, but that's tough job. That's what I would want them to do. Good luck doing it.
It's a difficult position to be in, because I'll give you an example of a team that did just that, different than what you said, because you were talking about offloading Yoshida's contract. What I was, which is obviously another option if they're able to do that, by all means they should. But what I was referencing was when teams like I think the Red Sox may have done it with Schwarber in 2013, where they gave a better prospect to the Nationals to eat money. But I know that the Yankees did it. Sorry, I said 13. That was 21. I know that the Yankees did it in 2021 for both Anthony Rizzo and Joey Gallo. And I'll use the Joey Gallo example, because some of these trades can look pretty bad if you go that route. The Rangers ate Joey Gallo's salary to get some extra players. The best player in that trade, I don't know if you guys have seen what Josh H. Smith on the Rangers has done this year, but he has an 845 OPS, a 142 OPS plus. So he's 42% better offensively than the average player. And then they got him. They got Ezekiel Duran, who had a 110 OPS plus last year. He's having a down year this year, but he's a big league player and average, maybe at times better than average big league player. And they got Glenn Otto, who was a big leaguer but was not good and was DFA'd. So the Rangers got three big leaguers there, and one of them is really good for a year and a half of Joey Gallo because the Yankees wanted them to eat money. So it's a difficult path. Like, to me, I am on board if they want to trade one of Jansen or Martin and then add, because they're getting Liam Hendricks back. Like, they already have enough bullpen depth where they have, like, Cam Boozer's able to go down to AAA, and like, your bullpen is still good enough to be fine. So, like, yeah.
You see, I don't know if I agree with that, because we're only in June. We've seen these guys fizzle. We saw it last year specifically. A lot of the guys in the bullpen, you know, they petered out towards the end of the season. They're pitching an amount of innings they've never pitched before. Good example, I hate to say it, Justin Slayton, slowly slowing down this year. He was unhittable for the first month or two of the season. Now, even today, he gave up a run today on Sunday as we record. So I think the bullpen is strong, certainly, but I don't think it's at a point where I can be comfortable trading away not just your closer, but now you're also talking the setup man in Martin. And I know he hasn't been great, but still, that's a reliable arm. So it's so, so hard for me to envision any kind of scenario where Kenley gets traded and then I feel good in terms of 2024 going ahead. It's such a loss. Like, that, he's an anchor.
Yeah, the idea really comes from a confidence standpoint on everyone else in the bullpen, because I think we all agree that the only spot for Kenley is in safe situations or any time in the ninth, whatever that may be. Now, if you trade him, that means you would be moving, you know, a guy like Slayton to that closer role. How confident are you that he can get the final three outs of a game? Look at a guy like Zach Kelly. Do you trust him to get the final three outs of the game? And as Sammy said, obviously he doesn't trust them. I think for me, it takes a little bit more time. So I'm sort of on the same wavelength of, it might be better just to hold on to Kenley, ride it out. Because let's face it, free agents leave all the time and you don't get a return. You already have so much in the farm system that you could potentially replace a guy like Kenley with, and you already have so much youth coming up, and you've already got a deep team in terms of a lineup and in a bullpen. So I say holding on to Kenley for a potential playoff run would be the best answer.
For me, it's not about needing to get value for him before he's a free agent. It's, I don't think ownership is going to add money. And when you're like, obviously it's easier to say, give up more in terms of prospect capital. But when I'll give you an example, like, would you upgrade, like, if a team wanted Yordani Monegro for someone, but if you wanted them to eat the salary, you had to instead give up Wickelman Gonzalez? Like, is it really worth that when you've got, like, Joe, you're talking about, can Zach Kelly, can Chris Martin, or can Justin Slayton or whatever get the final three outs? Like, I think the goal here, Liam Hendricks thinks he's going to be back in August. So I think your goal,
but he hasn't
would be,
pitched in like
that's
2 years.
Another name.
I'm not saying you throw him right in there. I'm not saying you throw him in there, but I think like for a couple of weeks, like have Justin Slayton close, have maybe Chris Martin close. Like I for a couple of weeks, like then Liam Hendricks does what he's done for years. Like,
see, I think well, we hope he does. I mean, he said it himself the other day. He hasn't pitched in a competitive game in like a year and a half, 2 years. It's been a long time, and he's older. We don't know what to expect. So, what I want them to do is add someone who doesn't make a lot of money, quite simply. And this is all under the assumption that they're working under a budget, which
Renifo
confirmed. Luis Renifo, yeah. But seriously, like, just add a guy who's not making that much money. If you got to pay a little extra in terms of prospect, do it. You have a deep farm system at this point. Christian Campbell is your number 10 prospect right now. He might be on the top 100 list shortly. Yordani Monegro, who you mentioned, wasn't ranked in the 20s in the system. Now he's in the top 15. Like, they have so much talent on the farm right now, and it keeps getting better. Roman Anthony is like a top 5 prospect. He's not going anywhere, but you get the point. They have the depth in the organization to make moves, pay a little extra in terms of prospects to get a guy who's on a cheap contract. Someone like, I mentioned this guy last week, Cal Quantrill. He's not the greatest starter in the world, but he's solid. He'll keep your rotation afloat. You just coughed his name, Luis Rengifo. He doesn't make a ton of money. If the Angels are like, I don't know, the contract's really good. All right, cool. Here's a slightly better prospect. Here's Wickelman, who you mentioned. So there's different ways to go about it where they don't have to, like I said, line the guys up in the locker room and kick them in the nuts one by one by trading Kenley Jansen, your anchor, your veteran closer, who's been nails all season long. I want them to be smart and spend some of that prospect capital that they've spent the last 400 fucking years accumulating.
Like, okay, how deep, though, are you going into that prospect list? Because I think, like, the big three off the market, Christian Campbell off, Lugo maybe. Like, Lugo might be,
Campbell,
your baseline.
I don't think anyone besides the big three should be considered off limits.
Yeah, I would trade. Well, I wouldn't trade Perales just because you'd be selling low because he's hurt. We're
right,
not
but if someone
like,
wants to give you full value, like for the big three, like there's like very little that
it'd
I
have
would,
to be. It'd have to be like Garrett Crochet, and even then, I'd be like, right. I don't know. But like
exactly.
Christian Campbell to me is the perfect guy that you trade. He's got a ton of helium, meaning he's hot and he's flying up the system rankings. He's got a very violent swing that, you know, Red Sox fans don't want to admit this. Not everyone is sold on him yet. Does he look great right now? Absolutely. He's killing double-A pitching. The numbers are great. But if you watch him, there's a lot of movement going on with that swing. So not everyone's sold on him. He's not a sure thing, but the value's higher than it's ever been. So that's kind of a guy I would look to trade. I said the same thing about Willy Abreu last year, a guy who's kind of, he was eighth ranked at the time and he was hot. That's a guy you look to trade, capitalize while their value is high. So as excited as I am about Christian Campbell, I think that's the perfect guy you look to move. Not saying you move him because you have to, but if there's an offer on the table, consider it.
Yeah, like I would consider like anything, because like it's like I'm not going to trade him for a rental, but
no,
there are guys out there that I would listen for. I want to give you guys an example. I talked with Brad Foe on Baseball Isn't Boring this weekend on the radio. We did a couple of who says no's, and one of them I put together, and this is for a guy that you wouldn't be able, if ownership has set a budget, you would not be able to bring this guy in without the team eating money or without trading someone from your roster. And it's for Zach Eflin from the Rays. So if you're acquiring him, the Rays are not going to eat money. So if you wanted to acquire Zach Eflin and ownership has set a budget, you would have to subtract elsewhere. But I'll give you guys the who says no, and you guys tell me what you think here. Bring in Zach Eflin for Chase Mydroth, Nick York, and Zach Penrod. And before you give your takes on it, Zach Eflin, he's making $11 million this year, so you'd pay the prorated version of that, which is what, probably like $4 million or so. And then next year, he's under contract, but it's for $18 million. So Zach Eflin, that's the contract, is $18 million next year. And he's had like a kind of up and down year, but he's got a 3.49 ERA in June, and he's only walked 7 in 87 innings. So you'd be giving up three guys.
What? Really, 7 walks all year?
Yeah, I mean, it's literally exactly what the Red Sox love.
Wow, that's sorry. That's just a crazy statistic. Sorry to interrupt.
And we know,
go ahead.
And we know that they liked him two off seasons ago when they thought they had him signed, and then he stomped on their offer and took it to Tampa. But that's an example of a guy that you're not going to be able to just give up more prospect capital and have them eat money. Like, Tampa's owners are not, like, if they're trading Zach Eflin, they're getting off that money. So
yeah,
would you do that trade? And would you do it knowing that to do it, you'd probably have to trade one of Jansen or Martin?
Yeah, see, that's kind of an exception I'd make. If I'm getting a legit major league starting pitcher with 2 years, a year and a half of control, who's walked 7 guys in whatever 80-something innings, mid-3 ERA, that makes the team better. I just don't think that you're going to get anything. I don't think that's going to happen. I just don't think they're going to make a trade like that where they're like, all right, We'll pay this contract and we'll give up these prospect. I like the prospect package you came up with too. That's like, I don't know if it's enough, but those are guys that they would look to trade, guys with helium. So yeah, and I would do that. Yeah, I would do that, but I just don't. I mean, yeah, I don't think it's feasible with this restriction, this self-imposed restriction. We have to preface this entire conversation by saying every move we talk about, the way we're discussing it is under the guise of the Red Sox front office, John Henry specifically, is limiting everything the GM and front office does with this self-imposed budget. We hate it and think it's stupid and shouldn't be there, but we're not going to talk about it as if it doesn't exist because that's just wasting everyone's time. So right. To put a bow on this tangent, yeah, I would do that. Of course, Zach Eflin, that would be great. I just don't foresee anything like that happening.
Well, it truly shouldn't not be said. I'm glad you said it, that these discussions that we're having them in a completely different way than we previously have had them, than we had them like in 2018 or any of the prior deadlines, prior to this change in philosophy that happens, I guess, in 2019 or so from Red Sox ownership. But yeah, you have to be realistic with the trades that you're putting together. You can't just say Red Sox should trade for Vlad Jr., who is making just under $20 million this year, and make a trade like that without the understanding of the Red Sox ownership. John Henry has imposed a budget, and if you're going to take on a deal like that, or anyone else who's making, God, probably anything more than like $6 or $7 million this year, like, you're going to have to either pay whatever to get that team to eat money, or you're going to have to subtract salary in some other way. And it sucks. It's unfortunate. But that's just the cards that Red Sox fans have been dealt. That's the cards that Craig Breslow's been dealt. I think it's stupid. No one thinks that this team should have a self-imposed budget, but it is self-imposed. But that's just that's just where we're at.
I'm pretty much on the same wavelength as Sammy. I would love to see that move. I think the prospect deal is really good. And Eflin is a guy where, if you remember in free agency, like, he's got the Boston connection, but ultimately, the deal breaker for him was that the Rays were more competitive. So he turned down essentially to go to his hometown versus a winning team. So you'd have someone who at least would have like some kind of positive sort of feeling of being on the Sox and not sort of a reluctance if I'm just here because of the budget. I met the budget lines, you know, that kind of stuff. So I agree. I would make the move, but I don't see it as realistic. I would love for it to happen. Maybe ownership can prove us wrong, you know, but that would be the kind of move they'd have to make to get fans excited for what potentially could be at the deadline.
I also think Tampa could probably get, they could probably get a premier prospect for a guy like that. Like,
I don't know, dude. 18,
24.
$18 million on the deal next year. Like, he has not been an $18 million pitcher this year. As good as the walk numbers have been, like, I gave you that mid three ZRA, that 3.49. That's just in June. Yeah, we're in June. Jesus, we're starting July, but he hasn't thrown. I think his ERA, I'll pull it up right now, but it hasn't
3.92.
So, like, that's not an $18 million pitcher. So you got to remember, well,
his FIP is much lower. His FIP is 3.6. Yeah,
Like, obviously, you'd be getting a 1-year deal. So, like, it's not like you're investing like 3-4 years down the road and taking on a ton of risk there. But I mean, if he's going to pitch to a close to 4 ERA and make $18 million, I don't think they're necessarily going to get, like, they're not going to get a top 100 guy for that. They could get a package of guys. Like, look what they got for Glasnow. Like Pepio is a pretty good pitcher, but, and that's Tyler Glasnow.
That's like a top 40 prospect, though.
Was he top 40?
He was really highly ranked. Yeah, he was great.
Okay, maybe a bad example, but Glasnow was like a star pitcher.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I don't know. I still, it's starting pitching, man. It's the most valuable thing in baseball. Starting pitching and elite catching prospects. It's like, everyone wants them. So, yeah, I don't know. It's a tough conversation. If I'm the Red Sox, I would do it. I just don't think it's feasible with the self-imposed restriction. How stupid is this that we have to have this whole conversation with that caveat?
Yeah, crazy. It's crazy. I mean,
yeah, like, the idea also is, if you're going to add to starting pitching, you don't want to do anything, because this could be a deadline like we saw in 22, where they're in the middle of buying and selling, where they bring in Tommy Pham and Eric Hosmer, but they're selling off Christian Vasquez. So they could absolutely, it could be even more realistic to see them ride it in the middle. They could buy into a starting pitcher, an Eflin type, but they could also sell off someone like a Kenley Jansen. So it is plausible, but that would be a terrible move to make, is to bring in a starting pitcher to get your rotation better, but your bullpen gets weaker by trading your closer.
The way you got to look at it, if they were to do it, is you get a sure bet starting pitcher you can trust to not only eat innings, but give you quality innings. And in the process, like, you downgrade from Jansen to whatever Hendricks can give you. And, like, obviously it's not ideal, but it's worth it to get that caliber a starting pitcher. Again, really fucked up that we have to have the conversations like this, because it's not the way it was and it's not the way it should be. And it's not the way it has to be, but it's just the way it is.
We must protect John Henry's money at all costs. It's the only thing I care about.
It's fucked up, dude. Seriously, I hate it so much. I really do. Like, because we should just be able to say, would you do Zach Eflin for these prospects? And, like, obviously the Red Sox will pay money because the Red Sox are the Red Sox. But
yeah, go back 10 years. Absolutely.
What was my first reaction to Eflin, other than being shocked at the lack of walks? I said, what's the contract?
Yep.
So we have to think about that crap. It's so... it's the only sport without a salary cap, yet of all the Boston teams, we have to treat the Red Sox like they're on the tightest budget of all of them. It's so... we'll see.
I'm glad that... Because Brad Fo liked that trade proposal, too. I'm glad we got that one on air here. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be, like, quickly before we move to Nuff Said, scale of 1 to 100, with 100 being you're buying everything and 1 being you're trading every rental you have and more. Where are you guys right now? Sammy, 1 to 100. Where are you on the buy sell scale?
60 in terms of buy. I think they should buy modest additions. I like Rengifo a lot. I think Rengifo and Quantrill are going to be the two guys that I want them to go after. One pitcher and one right-handed switch hitter, one right-handed bat. So 60, not exactly a fun answer.
Joe?
I'll go a little bit higher than that. I'll go 7. I think this team has proven enough that they're capable of being buyers. Just add a tiny piece here and there. You know, they don't have to be a full 10 where you have to buy into the biggest star ever. But just get a tiny little addition. Tiny little addition. One move can make such a big difference.
What about Luis Urias? Think he's available?
Shut up.
I was so excited when they got him. I'm like, this guy was sick in Milwaukee.
Dude, I was there. I was right there with you. We were like the only two preaching that. And like, I don't think we were like wrong, because like it was an addition at a place where they needed an addition and people just didn't care because he had shitty stats. But like, I don't know. That team just wasn't, like, they could have gotten Jose Altuve at second base and probably not made the playoffs. Yeah, it
didn't even matter in the end.
It fell apart. But yeah, I mean, for me, I'm kind of right there with you guys. I'm at a 65 out of 100. Like, it's just a couple of losses sway me right back below the 50 mark. And if they sweep the Marlins, I'll be like at a 78. Like, it's just going to, they're going to have to play well going into the deadline. This is why you have to watch the record, the games back, because it's not about, like, you can start, if you're not a big standings watcher, you can start ignoring that again after the deadline. But right now it's like they're paying close attention to the Fangraphs odds. They're paying close attention to the standings and how far back or in front they are for a wild card spot. So every game matters so much. It feels like it's just like last year. But let's move into some Nuff Said. Does anyone want to go first? Anyone have anything in particular?
Yeah, I got one. I thought this was interesting. It's a tweet from Brooks Gate, which if you're a baseball fan, you got to be following Brooks Gate. It's this account that kind of just puts up weird statistics. And this one caught my eye. So we talk about the Red Sox being mid, call them the Mid Sox for 3 years. Now we've been calling them that. Because they're at 500 so often. Red Sox have been at 500 18 times this year. 18 different times have the Red Sox been at 500, meaning same amount of wins as losses. The Padres not only won the series against the Red Sox, they also outmitted the Red Sox. They have been at 500 25 times this year. Wow. That is a lot of mediocre baseball. I can't believe, yeah, there's the tweet. 25, it's not even close. Red Sox are second, by the way, with 18. So Padres have 7 more instances of being 500. They are the kings of mediocre baseball. Congrats to the Padres. You will probably never see the promised lands, but at least you can hold this crown of being mid.
We love the mid crown. My God, that's crazy. That's
a
good
stat. I find it shocking about all the zeros down there at the bottom. Like, I would have thought they would have at least been like 1-1 or something like that.
That's probably what the Dodgers are. Like, they won one, lost one, or like 1-2, lost two, and then never look back. But yeah.
Yeah.
Zero. I guess you got to pick a direction and head that way.
Joe, you got anything Nuff Said?
I do, and it's not really sports related. So, I had a little bit of fun last night after watching the shellacking that the Sox got. went to TD Garden and went to a concert with a good friend of mine. And I just want to give my love to Justin Timberlake out there. I know he takes a lot of heat out there, but the guy just knows how to put on a show. I know he's in a negative light most of the time with everything he's done in the past, but he's such an entertainer. You know,
but why do you say that?
What do you mean?
Why do you say he's? I feel like he's mostly positive. I know he had the arrest thing lately, but immediately it was turned into a meme, and everyone loves him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you have some of the fans who are like, you know, going back to the Janet Jackson thing at the Super Bowl, and then the Britney Spears sort of thing.
Sorry, you had to see a boob on TV. God forbid. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I was a. What year is that? 2002.
That was like 2000. I think that was the Patriots win over the Eagles first time. So that was like 2004.
I was like 6 years old. I was like, whoa, what is that? Sick. Thank you, JT. Yeah.
I'm just saying that's how people see him in a negative light. I, for one, have seen him in a positive light, and he's such an incredible entertainer. The singing, the dancing. I thoroughly enjoyed the concert. I thoroughly enjoyed him as an entertainer. It was so cool at the end. He had this rotating stage that sort of came out, and he was basically like hanging down from the ceiling and was performing on this floating stage. So love to JT for putting on a great show Saturday night.
That was Joe, so funny when he got arrested and like the first line was, "This is going to ruin the tour."
What tour?
Joe, yeah,
and then the cop had no idea who he was. What?
Yeah, like, how do you not know? Dude, I'm so bad at recognizing people's faces in person. There's no chance I wouldn't know who Justin Timberlake was. It's not even my kind of music, but it's JT. Come on, fuck, Sox.
That was one of my favorite Nuff Said's ever. Joe's just like, I gotta shout out Justin Timberlake. The singing, the dancing, it's just immaculate.
And what?
Just, I gotta shout out Justin Timberlake. Gotta make sure we shout out Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, great actor. And he got triple custom threat sneakers from the Celtics. Like, check out these bad
those
boys.
Those were sick.
Yeah, very cool. Got the trophy. Way,
the TD Garden sticker on the side. I love that. It's probably an ad.
It's beautiful.
Very cool.
Those are icy.
All right. I'll give you guys mine and then we'll get on out of here. Mine. So I was at the Sox game on Sunday with my dad, and it's like the third inning. And he turns over to me. He goes, "Nat, what does Hawk Tua mean?"
Oh no. Oh, my God. Oh no. Did you tell him?
No, I was like, I'm not telling you that. You could look it up yourself. I'm not telling you that.
I had a similar experience. Well, luckily it wasn't in person, but this is like 15 or 16, whenever Justin Bieber was really popular. And my mom just texts me. She goes, "Hey, Sam, I was reading a TMZ article about Justin Bieber. What is pegging?"
Oh, what?
I was like, "Oh, you really want to know?"
And my mom was like, "Tell her."
Tell me. Yeah, my mom has a good sense of humor. She thought it was funny, but I was like, "Oh man, I'll tell you, but it's a little brutal." And she was like, "That is so gross, but funny. Thank you for telling me. Sorry I asked."
Yeah, you know what will help, Gordo? What will help with whoever wants to know this, Hawk Tua? Go to the WEEI YouTube page, cross promotion, ding, and watch Christian Fourier on Christian Fourier try to explain this. I was producing that show. I was behind the glass, and all of us are just like sitting back, arms crossed, being just like, "Okay, do it on the radio. Do it as clean as you can."
That was funny. I watched that clip. That was really good. That was really good. So yeah, I'm not. I did. Needless to say, I did not tell my dad what it meant in front of all the people sitting around us at Fenway. I just told him, "If you're curious, no, I'm not telling you. Just look it up yourself." Not happening.
Come on, he would probably would have left. But if I can tell my mom what pegging is, you can explain Hawk Tua.
For whatever reason, I feel like I'd be more able to tell my parents what pegging is than Hawk Tua. I don't know why.
Hawk Tua pegging is just. Yeah, pegging is Gordo.
Pegging's like over the top. You know what it is? Yeah, but it's like over the. We're not going to talk about it on Play Tessie, but it's like over the top.
Yeah, like, well, I mean, God, gross. That Hawk Tua video, I think I mentioned it. It made me want to start a civil war. I can't believe that girl's accent is real. That's the worst accent I've ever heard in my life. Where is she from? Like Mississippi?
The video was in Nashville.
Tennessee? Jeez. Oh my God. Yeah.
Shout out her. I'm not, she can explain it to my dad if she wants to, but it's true. Yeah. Maybe not. But on that note, thanks for tuning in to Play Tessie episode 89. Oh God. Yeah. There she was on stage with Zach Bryan. Show that to Pat, but thanks for tuning in for episode 89. Before you head somewhere else, whatever, hit the subscribe button, Apple, Spotify, Odyssey app. Hit the subscribe button, rate us 5 stars. Helps us out a ton. Check it out on YouTube. We're on the WEI channel. We've got a Play Tessie playlist there. So hit the thumbs up on those videos. We really appreciate when you guys do that. Also follow us on the socials at Play Tessie on both Twitter and Instagram. You won't want to miss the content coming out there. It's really good stuff, but appreciate you guys tuning in. For Sammy, for Joe, it's Gordo here. Thanks for tuning in to Play Tessie episode 89. Peace.
Pegging.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.